and we're going to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And have ye forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, there's much more in that chapter to be talked about, but I wanted to stop there. And I wanted to end on that note, that as we look at this world that we're dealing with, I wanted you to see some things. And he talks about being compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And that cloud of witnesses he's speaking about is the ones that came before in chapter 11. Now, you've heard me preach that many times. We're talking about Moses. We're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Isaac and Jacob. We're talking about Isaiah and Jephthah. And I could go down the list. David and the prophets and Samuel and so many before us. Excuse me. So many before us that have gone before, and they have served the Lord, and they have been victorious. And some of them went to their deaths serving God and had respect of the promises, the apostles and so many others throughout time. And these that are in chapter 11, and then by extension, men of God throughout history. I like, Brother Larry, when he was reading Brother Perkins' message, he was talking about Baptist history. And I like to go back into history and read about what many men of God have gone through and done. Fox's Book of Martyrs and things like that, of people that stood for the faith, and many gave their very lives to show the truth of God's Word. And some of them did great things for God. And we talk about the great revivalists of the early 19th century and those people that went out and preached the gospel. And then we have, we see that, and we still find faithful men and women of God even today. I remember when I was preaching in the nursing home for so many years, I would meet saints of God that were just a blessing to me and were an encouragement to me. You find a lady who's flat on her back and she can't get up and move, and they pretty much have to wheel her whole gurney into the services where we're preaching the services and everything. And then you go in there and you talk to her, and you find her just praising the Lord and talking about the goodness of God and all the things. And you see other people around that are miserable and angry and frustrated and depressed, and yet she's in there praising God and saying, "Oh, preacher, if you just knew what see the hand of God in the lives of people. We talked this morning in the Sunday school about who we ought to follow, and whose faith follow, and those things like that. We talked about that. And that was the precursor to this message, because he's talking about a great cloud of witnesses. And we'll come back to that in just a moment. I want to focus primarily on verse 1 of this wonderful chapter of God's Word. But the second verse there says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you've heard me say it many times that the joy that Jesus, that was set before Jesus, was our salvation. It was the forgiveness of our sins. It was the reconciling of us to God. And if you're here today and you don't know for sure if you died today you'd go to heaven, I've got good news for you. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, died on Calvary's cross and bore your sins in His own body on that tree and shed His life's blood as payment for your sins. Amen. He was buried and He rose again the third day. Amen. Which means the penalty for your sins has been paid for. And now eternal life is a gift, and you have the choice now. Before Christ died on Calvary's cross, before His resurrection, you had no choice. But you have the choice now whether to accept the gift of God or to reject it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I just want you to understand that it was His joy to die for you. His joy of suffering the penalty for our sins and suffering and crying out on Calvary's cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The sinless Son of God endured all of that, endured such a contradiction of sinners against Himself for the purpose and the joy. His joy was that you could be saved. You could be forgiven. That I could be saved. That I could be forgiven. And that my life could be changed. And I could live a life that had eternal value. And He says He despised the shame. In other words, He said all the shame that He had to take, and the Bible says the reproaches of them that reproached thee, the reproaches of all those people that reproached God, that blasphemed God, they fell upon me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said He despised the shame. He counted it as nothing. It's kind of like Brother Paul when he said that he endured the loss of all things for Christ, that he might win Christ, and he counted them as dung. They were nothing. What he had to look forward was so much better than what he was leaving behind, or what he may have lost. Jesus looked at that salvation the same way, and it tells us to consider him. Obviously, he's the one we follow, but that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. And he says, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Very few believers have resisted to their life. Many of you had your life threatened for the cause of Christ. Now think about that. But let's go back to verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I kind of looked at that passage, and I looked at this passage, and I kind of just thought about it, meditated on it. And these are the things that came out in my heart in understanding. But he said, let us, since we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we have examples and samples to look at, people that have were men with the same, with like passions as we are. They weren't supermen. They weren't anything out of the common way. They were like everybody else. They were different. They had different talents, different abilities. But they were just men. They were sinners needing a Savior, just like everybody else. But when they trusted Christ as their Savior, when they trusted the Lord, when they looked forward either to the coming of Christ or that we look back to His death, burial, and resurrection, whatever they may be, these people, these great cloud of witnesses are there for us to show us that God's grace is truly sufficient and that we can live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world that we're in. But he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And then he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That word let means that you have the ability to give yourself permission to do that. That it's possible. God doesn't ask us to do what we can't do. Now if you're lost, you might find that a little hard to do. But if you know Christ is your Savior, the power of sin has been broken, so therefore you now have the choice. And he says, let us lay aside. Let us run. They're choices. Everything about the Christian life, when it comes to our response to the world, comes down to a choice. We start our Christian walk with a choice, do we not? We choose to either believe or reject. We choose either faith or unbelief. We choose those things. God's Spirit lightens our eyes. God's Spirit shows us the truth. The Word of God imparts faith. And then we have to choose. We can talk about all of that type of thing about salvation. But the Christian life is the same thing. And those before us, they had to make a choice whether they were going to acquiesce to the circumstances and situations of their life and the things that other people did, or that they were going to be victors. He says, let us lay aside, let us run. And now we get down to the nitty-gritty about all of this. Let me go to the last part of that first. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, every one of us is created uniquely. No two of us are the same. We have similarities, but we're all different, aren't we? So by creation, we're all different. And there's much of our life that we can't control. You didn't get to control what family you were born into. And there are a lot of things going on in life that we just have to chalk up to the providence of God. This is where we're at. We make decisions on that, but they're there. And he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What I'm trying to get you to see is that God has set before you a race. Now, you might make it worse by your behavior, but there's a lot of things that just you don't control. There are things going happening in our culture today that are beyond our individual control. We can only react to what's happened. Our government does things that we can't control, which kind of flies in the face of government of foreign by the people, right? But nonetheless, it's still things that we can't control. And so what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? Well, he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Lily, could you come here for a minute, please? I want to show you something about patience. Come here. Come here. Now I want you to do something for me. Hold out your arms up straight. Hold out your arms up straight. Now hold that book. Hold it up straight. Now you hold on to that book now. All right? Let me know when you get tired. Okay? When you get tired, say, Papa, I'm getting tired. You hold on to the book. Now, while I'm going on and talking about patience, what she's doing is she's holding on to a book and she's holding it out at the limits of her strength, is she not? And that book is out at the limit of her strength and she's trying real hard. And she is right now showing patience. Is it getting heavy now? She's showing patience. Now, don't drop the book now. All right. Now do me a favor. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Don't open. Is it easy now? It's not as hard, is it?
Yeah.
You see what she just did? I didn't pull her arms up. She did that. She lifted her arms. Thank you, sweetheart. She was showing endurance. Her endurance has a limit as a human being. Her endurance has a limit. It has a thing. But by God's grace, that endurance can be increased. We can go and do things beyond what we thought possible. We can endure the circumstances and situations of our life just as our Christian forefathers did. And the apostles and the prophets, this is the work of God in a generation where there are people that just make up their mind that, hey, I'm going to run this race with patience. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust God. And when you trust the Lord, the Bible says that we access God's grace by what? By faith.
Amen.
Therefore, having peace with God, right? Look at Romans chapter 5. I think I've talked about that many times, but Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Romans chapter 5, I believe, is if I quoted it correctly. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when you were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So he's there. Did you notice how when Lily was sitting there holding it, her arms were sagging, her arms were sagging. And then when I put my hands gently under her, I wasn't picking up. I just put my hands gently
that she would not fall, that she would not drop the book. And as I had my hands gently there, all of a sudden, something changed. She lifted her arms back up, didn't she? I didn't pick her arms up. She did that. And then my hands went right there with her, and they were there. That is how the grace of God works, beloved. We step out by faith, and God takes us to a place that we didn't think we could go to. We find strength we didn't know we had. By the God's grace, we see He's there. He strengthens us. He gives us what we need. That is exactly the way it works. And it's done by faith. It's done by trust. And a willingness to endure. We're told endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What generally happens to people is they hit a rough spot and they quit on God. Instead of saying, you know what, I don't know what's happened, but I'm just going to go ahead and try to do right. I'm going to serve the Lord anyway. But He says, let us, it's a choice. There's a permission there that's already been given. It's a desire to do that. But let's go back to this thing. And he says, what does he say about this, about let us? He said, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Lay it aside. What is a weight? Well, a weight is something that hinders you. There may be a lot of things that could be a weight around your neck when it comes to hindrance. All right, if I were to sit here and I were to say, let me have both Lily and Daisy. Come here. I'm going to show you. Y'all going to help me here. Okay? All right, stand right over there. Stand out front. All right. Now I'm going to help you out here. All right, face the congregation there. All right, stand up. Now, if we were going to run a race, and I was going to say, first one to the door back there wins, right? Now, who do you think would win? You think you would win? Huh? You think you would win? All right, because you're older, right? You're bigger and stronger. All right. But wait a minute. Put your arms up. There you go. Oh, no. There you go. Now, who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to win? That's because you've got weights, don't you? You don't want to run with all those books, do you? Now y'all go sit down. Alright. Now think about that. Think about that, Christian. What do you have that is weighing you down? That is taking away from your relationship with Christ. It might be some affection you have. You know, they that are Christ are supposed to crucify the lusts and the affections. Alright? The lusts are illegitimate desires. But there are also legitimate things that could weigh you down. There are things that you could do that you could have. Politics could be one thing. Could be a family relationship that you're putting before Christ, your relationship with Christ. There could be all kinds of... I mean, God wants you to have a good family relationships and all these things, but the first relationship is your relationship with the Lord. Right? I mean, I could go down. There are a lot of things that happen. Sometimes people's occupations are their desire to do a good job and be a good employee could become a weight. I know a lot of people who skip church for work. Does God want you to be a good employee? Sure He does. We're told in the Bible how we're supposed to work and labor. But that's not designed to hinder your walk with Christ. And I can't tell you necessarily what it'll wait. You know what's in your heart. You know what might hinder you from serving the Lord the way God wants you to serve Him. You know what fears or things that you may have, or you know what desires or affections or things that are interfering with your relationship with Christ. You know. And He says, let us lay aside those ways. The picture, and run with patience the race that's set before us. Now notice when He's talking about weights, He says, let us lay them aside. You know, we just had the Olympics, right? And in the olden days, when they run the Olympics, they would shed their clothes because they figured any amount of weight was going to stop them from running their races, and they wanted to be faster and stronger. And so they would do that. And we do the same thing today. We get fabrics that are lighter and more aerodynamic and that type of thing. What they're trying to do is shed weights. I remember back in the, I think it was probably in the 80s, they had the swim team. And they were all trying to get, you know, that you ever see those, they put their caps on? Everything like that? Because they want to stop the hair from causing any problem. But there was a time where all the American swimmers, the men, they all shaved their heads. Why did they shave their heads? They shave their heads because the hair causes friction. It slows them down. It's a weight that stopped them from performing to their best ability. And there's some things that, and it may be different from person to person, but if there's anything that's just stopping you from doing what God wants you to do, it's time to lay it aside. It's time to lay it aside. You have to lay it aside. And then he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The sin which doth so easily beset us. And I've heard a lot of different preaching on that, on besetting sins and everything like that. I prefer to keep it very simple. When the Bible's talking about sins, not necessarily talking about a particular sin. It may be a particular sin in your case. It's talking about sin. It's talking about rebellion against God. He's talking about unbelief. He's talking about things that you know are flat wrong, that are not pleasing in God's sight. He's talking about sin. And God's clear in there. He says, the sin which doth so easily beset us. God understands. He knoweth our frames. He knoweth that we're but dust. He knows that we're tempted. He knows that we're tried. He knows all of these things about us. He knows what we struggle against. And He loves us. And He's provided a way. But notice He said, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. It may be something that besets you easily. It may be something that you have to struggle against. But the very fact that He says, let us lay it aside, means that we can win. That we can be victors. That we can have the victory over. A lot of times, that's to be honest with you, that is the goal of the Christian life, is to get victory over one thing and then another and then another and then another and then another, and just keep growing in grace. Somebody gets upset about something, they get mad about something, and then they get bitter about something. You don't have to stay that way. You can learn to get past that and be angry and sin not. We're told in this passage of Scripture that, boy, we have so many examples, so many witnesses to the grace of God and the power of God that we can follow after. We've got the Lord Himself. And because we can look at them, and if they did it, by God's grace, so can you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Yeah, that used to be a popular song. That was what we would call a pop song back in the 50s. A fellow by the name of Tex Ritter wrote and sang that song. But there's truth in that. There's what he's saying. He's saying that we can have the victory. We just got to get our focus correct. We have to realize that victory is possible. We have the permission, and we have to give ourselves permission to have the victory. We this is our choice. God's provided everything we need. This is our choice. If you're a child of God, this is your choice. If you're not a child of God, it can be your choice. Praise the Lord for that. Doesn't matter your circumstances. Doesn't matter your situation. Doesn't matter what the world does. Doesn't matter if the whole government's against us. Aged preacher by the name of Polycarp. They threatened to burn him with fire. They threatened to turn him over to the wild beasts. They said, "We'll turn you over to the wild beast except thou repent." He said, "Call them. For repentance from righteousness to unrighteousness is a change not permitted." He said, "If you despise the beast, we'll burn you with fire." He said, "You threaten with a fire that burns for a while and then it's no more. Because you're ignorant of the fire, of the eternal fire that will never be quenched." I tell you what, that's a fellow worth emulating. So many people, so many witnesses, that they have trusted God and just sought to obey Him by faith, and they've won the victory. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. If that's your future, what can stop you? Let's pay attention. Let's lay aside those weights and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Trust in God. Just do what's right. Trust in the Lord and do good. Father, we thank You this day for each one that's here. Lord, You know the need of every person. If there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation today. Pray that today would be the day that they would see their need and just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Lord, for those of us who've trusted Christ as our Savior, help us to realize that the victory is available, that it's there. We just have to trust You and step out by faith and run this race that's been set before us with patience, trusting You all the way. Help us to see
and understand what you did for us on Calvary's cross. Lord, thank you for it. We just pray that you bless each one as we go throughout this coming week. Pray you bless each one with understanding and Lord, with the grace to just do great things for God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.